1 Peter chapter 1. We're still in chapter 1, but this morning we're calling it Craving Brotherhood. Craving Brotherhood. So the question is this: what is it that you crave above all things? Just so everybody knows, Larry, above all things, craves ice cream. Above all things. Okay. What do you crave above all things? If you had 3 wishes and you had a magic lamp and you only had actually 1 wish left, what do you desire and crave above all things? What does craving mean? It means an intense desire for. I know for myself, it has been a desire for me to understand who I am. And in that, I first had to understand who I was. I want people to understand me and to like me. But in order to do that, I had to understand actually who I was myself. So when I was in college, I took a class called Personality and Understanding. Personality and Christian Spirituality. Maybe seems like a boring class, but it was the best class that I ever took. I didn't know what to expect from it, but it came to be one of the most significant classes for me. It helped me understand my identity, who I was and why I do what I do, and most importantly, to be comfortable in my own skin. If you ask my wife, she's still trying to understand why I do what the things that I do. After one class, I remember coming to tears because everything suddenly made sense, that I was who I was for God's reasons. My search for understanding and my identity was finally unraveling. Everything I had experienced in my life, 8 dads, mom in jail 4 times, my wife passing away from cancer, all these kind of things started to make sense. And the point was is that I had a purpose. And everything going forward would have a purpose as well. In the big picture, it's all for the glory of God. For years now, I've taken a particular interest in identity studies to understand who I am and what makes me tick as well as others. About 10 years ago, I came by a tool called the Flag Page through Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage. Mark Gungor, if you know who he is. He is a very flamboyant Filipino pastor. He's awesome. This Flag Page works on a test by Myers-Briggs, personality types, that identify strengths and talents in the country that we operate out of and the country that we adopt, that we travel to. And it talks about how one functions and succeeds in life. Ultimately, it is a description as to how one loves God and others in this world and how we bring God glory. Do you and I know how we bring God glory? Big thing is, it's a roadmap to understanding how God has wired us. So like a driver's license, it's a form of identification. So you do this test and you get 55 words and you choose from those 55 words, those words that you figure you identify with the most. And it funnels them down from 55 all the way down to like 5 words. And then what happens is you get this flag, literal flag, and it has a bunch of colors on it. Depending on who you are, you might only have 1 or 2 colors on it, or you might have all 5. But what it is, it's a tool to understand who God has made you to be. I think that's the biggest quest that everybody has, is to understand who God has made me to be. and what my purpose is. Why do I do the things that I do? Both the good things and maybe in our estimation, the bad things, right? My wife would say, you have some annoying habits, right? And I would go, so do you, right? But then we go back and we go and we've both done it and it's like, man, look at, the funny thing is when I took my test, Lynette was like, oh, wow, that's cool. I'm going to do mine. And I told her, I already know what yours is going to come out as. And I was right. She had two colors, blue and green. And it was like, wow, because I'm just so much into these things. Now, don't mistake me for trying to put people in a box. That's not the thing. The thing is how do I glorify God the best? Who you are and how do you glorify God as your best self? Do you know that? How do you love others best? Big picture question, how do you love well as God loves? The Apostle Peter's main concern in writing to his hearers in this book is how do you love God and others and love others while living during the time that we do? That's Peter's base concern. Is how do you love God and love others well during this time that you find yourself in? We discovered last week that Peter reiterated God's call to be holy because God is holy. Don't be holy as God is holy because that's not possible. Because none of us are God. But be holy because God is holy. And we discovered that that meant what? Be devoted. Be devoted to God as God is devoted to himself. Because only through devotion does one become pure and holy and separate and a distinct people of God. That's the thing that the Israelites struggled with throughout their whole walk and what we struggle with every day is being devoted to God, to be holy. This call to be devoted to God as God is devoted to himself leads to the ability to love one another earnestly from a heart of purity. And this is the biggest concern of Peter. Let's go to the scripture, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 says this. By obedience to the truth, having purified yourselves for sincere love of the brothers, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like a flower of the grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached as the gospel to you. 1 Peter 2, verses 1 to 3 says this. So rid yourselves of all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all slander. Like newborn infants, desire the pure spiritual milk so that you may grow by it for your salvation, since you have tasted that the Lord is good. Question. How many of you ever watched The Lone Ranger as a kid? Comic books, right? There was even a cartoon series. How many of you watched The Lone Ranger as an adult? Now put up your hands. There you go. The Lone Ranger was who? Who was the Lone Ranger? Well, he was a guy. He was dressed as a cowboy, right? He wore a mask. He had a little mask around his eyes. He had a big white hat. And he had 2 6 guns and a horse named Silver. And he would arrive on the scene every week to a new television episode to save the town folk from being swindled or taken advantage of by the bad guys. This was during the time of Western settlement. It was a Western. How many of you love Westerns? Not too many. That's probably why you haven't seen the Lone Ranger. But the thing about the Lone Ranger, the curious thing about the Lone Ranger is, well, the truth is this. Boys wanted to be him, and girls wanted to know him. The Lone Ranger always saved the day and got the girl at the end of the show. The curious thing about the Lone Ranger was that he was not alone. This is the curious thing, right? He is known as the Lone Ranger, but he wasn't alone. He had a sidekick, and his sidekick's name was what? Tonto. And what did Tonto do? Yes, Kemosabe. He would come in and save Kemosabe's butt every once in a while, right? A lot of the time. So the Lone Ranger wasn't actually alone. He had a sidekick. But how many men and women today emulate the Lone Ranger? Right? We want to be able to live on our own, to not be dictated to by anybody else or society, and to be able to do so is seen as strength. To need others is to be seen as weak. The Lone Ranger mentality is to see oneself as independent, strong, and in no need of anyone or anything. And that's the role model of self-sufficiency. What would be the equivalent of the Lone Ranger today? Batman. Or, say, James Bond. But still, Batman needs Robin. Batman needs Alfred. Batman needs Commissioner Gordon. James Bond needs M. He needs Moneypenny. He needs Q. The question is this. Is it possible to live life as a Lone Ranger? Is it possible? Some of us would say yes, but not because at some point one will need help. One will need a companion. One will need a friend. One will need saving. So is it possible? Maybe, is it advisable to live life as a Lone Ranger? See, when I was growing up, because of the way I grew up, I became very independent. Because my mom wasn't home. My mom was in jail. My mom married and divorced 8 different guys. My life was like this, so I had to do something about it, so I became very independent. I was able to look and take care of myself to a degree. So when high school came and I was graduating, it was not a big deal to leave home. I left home a week after graduation and I never came back. Because I saw the life that my mom lived and I experienced the life and the repercussions of the life that my mom lived, and I determined to myself, I can do better. So I started living my life as a Lone Ranger. But the truth was, at some point in my life, I needed help. I needed a companion. That's the biggest thing that I prayed about once I became a believer, was like I realized I can't do this on my own, so I need Jesus. But I also discovered that, you know what, I didn't want to be alone, so I wanted a companion. I wanted to be married. So I was engaged at 19 and married at 20. And my first wife, Jackie, passed at age 28. And I got married again because I loved it so much. But the thing was, I didn't want to be alone. And I met a wonderful woman. I've had 2 wonderful women in my life plus 4 wonderful daughters. Can we live the life of the Lone Ranger? Is it possible? Is it advisable? See, when we look at God, God is a relational God. God is three in one, one in three. And we are made in God's image. And so much so that God made male and female. He made woman to be a helpmate, a companion, a friend, and a lover, the book of Genesis tells us. Man was made to live in and experience community with others. He was to be married or not. Because remember, Paul was not married. But he still had friends and companions. Men and women were also made to love one another, just as God the Father loves the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now, when we say love one another, we are not just talking about the action of physical love. That's the love that's called eros. And it involves extreme passion and its physicality. And the thing about our world has taken eros and said, that's love. And that's not true. It is part of love. It is a type of love. Agape love is sacrificial love, and it's the most notable, noble and powerful type of love because it is an act of will to sacrificially give yourself to someone or something. Agape love costs you something. Has your love cost you something? Have you ever been in an agape love? Lots of people experience eros love, but agape love, that's a different level of love. Jesus is the greatest example of agape love. He sacrificially gave himself and gave his life for you and me so that we would have life with God the Father. Now there's a third kind of love, and that's philo, or we would call Philadelphia. It's a brotherly love. It's an earthly love found in friendships, marriages, family ties, including the church. We can give and experience each of these loves in our lives at any time with anyone. The question is, are we able to love as Jesus loves? Jesus loved on all three levels. And he calls us to love one another as what? As Jesus loved the Father. Now he uses what? He uses the word as. So he says it's possible. It's absolutely possible to love each other as Jesus loves the church. Well, what is this Philadelphia brotherly love? Peter's encouragement is to love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Peter's talking about philo love, brotherly or sisterly love, in a community of believers, of Christ followers, those that have been born again, he uses that term. What's being born again? It's people who have believed upon Jesus in who he claims to be, Lord and Savior, and what he has done, repairing the relationship between God and man by his sacrifice on the cross and being risen from the dead for our sins. Brotherly love, as God defines it, is only possible through obedience to the truth, the gospel of the kingdom which Jesus preached and lived out while on earth. Take a second, look at your scripture. If you haven't brought your scripture with it, look when you get home. But he says here, by obedience to the truth, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. It's just not something that we can pick up. See, the world has a different version of brotherly love compared to what Jesus' version of brotherly love is. Brotherly love, as God defines it, is only possible through obedience to the truth, to the gospel that Jesus preached and lived while on this earth. Being born again is a person who has believed that truth. That Jesus is God, that he came as a man, that he was born as a babe by the Virgin Mary, that he lived as a man, experienced everything that man has, does without sin, and preached God's love and forgiveness of man's sin and redeemed man at the cross and rose again. This is who, this is what the gospel is. And the thing about it is that Jesus is still returning. He will come again to establish his kingdom on earth. And once he does that, he will bring all his believers, his followers, to be with him. The truth is, believe in Jesus, love God, and live love as Jesus lived and loves you. That again, the truth is, believe in Jesus, love God, and live love as Jesus lived and loves you. So to love a brother or sister properly or earnestly from a pure heart is only possible if we obey the truth of Jesus, Peter says, his gospel. Without living in obedience and submission or devotion to Jesus' instructions, I cannot love my brother or sister properly with a pure or right heart. It's not possible. See, this whole thing of brotherly love is a mutual concern for the mutual benefit of Christians living in community together with one another. So that means I have a mutual concern for Pat, or for Gary, or for Kevin. What happens to them concerns me because they're family. And I want to see good things happen to them. So I care for them. So I love them. So I'm there for them. I pray for them. It's a mutual concern. That's brotherly love. Without living in obedience or submission or devotion to Jesus' instructions, I can't love them well. In Acts chapter 2, 42 through 45, we have a picture of the community of Jesus, of Christ followers, living in brotherly love. Those believers were devoted to certain things. And it says in the scriptures, it says they were devoted to, one, Jesus' teaching. Two, believers' baptism. They were devoted to the fellowship, to the church. They were devoted to breaking bread, communion, of what we just celebrated today or remember today. They were devoted to prayers, to God's guidance, edification, and intercession. We need to remember that God, that prayer is what? Is listening to God first. We tend to go, prayer is, here's my list, God. We need to stop and go, okay, God, what's your list? And then continue. It's also mutual concern for each other's well-being and need. Gathering together at the temple every day, they broke bread together in fellowship in one another's homes. This was all brotherly love. Well, what was the result of that? We go back into Acts chapter 2, verse 47. 45, 46, 47, 43. And it says, the result of that brotherly love, that mutual concern for one another was what? Was a respect and honor for God and for one another. There were signs and wonders amongst the people. There was unity. There was no division. They held things in common. What's that mean? What's it mean to hold things in common? They had everything together. It says they sold their possessions and they gave to one another as needed. It was the fact that what is mine is not necessarily mine, it's God's. And what God needs for the community. So they had charity. They had needs met. He says they had a joyful and humble attitude. They praised God. They had favor with all the people, not just Christians, but with the whole community. Because people are going, wow, look at that. Look at what those believers are doing. Look at what those Christians are doing. Can you believe it? We had that comment up in Peace River. We would hold an annual clothing bonanza. It just started out collecting clothes for little children, and so children and teenagers and kids and babies. And so people could bring their used clothing that was in good condition, that was washed, and we would collect it, and then we put it all together one day on a Saturday and transformed our sanctuary into a clothing exchange. And people came and got clothes. We didn't charge anything. We gave them a bag or we gave them a couple of bags and said, take what you need. And that is still going to this day. That is, how many years? I think it's like 15, 20 years. And it's still going to this day. I had a lady that come to me, and she was from the Catholic Church. She was a Filipino. She goes, are you the pastor here? I said, yeah. She goes, you guys understand community. This is awesome. Do we understand community? Is that our experience today? Do we know what brotherly love is? If so, great. If not, why not? What's missing? What do we need to work on? Is all of Jesus' teaching being followed today in our lives? Or am I picking and choosing what I will or will not follow? Am I honoring my fellow brother or sister? Do I give respect? If I want respect, I have to give respect. Am I genuinely concerned for my brother or sister's well-being? Do they matter to me? Do I meet needs, or is it all about me? Am I gathering together to praise God and love one another? Is my home open to my brother or sister for fellowship? Have I invited people over? In order to love God and love properly, I need to be sanctified by the word of God. I need to obey his teachings. This is Peter's point. You want to get rid of malice and envy and slander and all that stuff that's in your life and bitterness? He goes, sanctify yourselves with the word of God. Get back to the basics. He says, church, you've forgotten. Get back to the basics. If your life's terrible, how's your devotional life? If your life's terrible, how's your devotional life? Maybe God's doing some transformation, and usually he is. If God's doing transformation work, I will be in the word. I will be looking for his guidance, for his words. And I will trust and believe that my life is in his hands. And I will follow him on that. Peter says, by obedience to the truth, having purified yourselves for sincere love of the brothers. I purify myself, I devote myself for sincere love of my brother or sister. Obeying the gospel call of Jesus to live in love as he did is to enable earnest, sincere love for my brothers and sisters. If I'm not in the word, how can I love my brother or sister? And how can I love them well? How can I expect God to come near me if I'm double-minded about obeying his word and being sanctified by his word? James 4:8. The Apostle Paul encourages all believers to show family affection to one another with brotherly love. Outdo one another in showing honor. Outdo one another in showing honor and respect and love. So let me ask you this. We've just experienced this. We're coming to the end of it, I hope. But can you and I show or feel brotherly affection through Zoom or online? Is it possible? Not really. Are we able to meet one another's needs while we're online? Does fellowship online really meet our needs? Do we feel united? Do we feel distant? Why is there seemingly a lack of interest or earnest, sincere, brotherly love today? We have to look at our devotion. Do we have a lack of devotion to God and to his word? That's where it begins. How in love with God and His Word are we really? Are we being a lone ranger? Lone rangers fail to love well because the Word of God and the love of God is not priority in their lives. Brotherly love is community or communal love. It's church love. It is a love of harmony and mutual concern for one another. It is a love that's implanted by God through the Spirit, via the gospel, via the Word of God. If we don't love and live in community, we have to ask the question, am I truly born again? So Peter's saying, am I truly born again? Peter would say that the thing that inhibits love in a community is our old desires, our old wants, the old man that we allowed to come and live and take over. It's that old sin nature that is perishable seed, Peter says in verse 23. So Peter says, 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 to 3, so rid yourselves of all malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander. Like newborn infants, desire the pure spiritual milk. What is Peter saying? Desire the truth. Desire the word, that you may grow by it for your salvation, for your sanctification, for your devotion. And he says, since you have tasted that the Lord is good. Do you remember when you came to know the Lord Jesus as your Savior? As your Messiah? Was it good? What did you experience? What did you know? Did you tell anybody? Were you excited? Not so much. Well, I hope we were excited. Because, I mean, I was on fire. I was telling everybody and anybody I knew. I even went and witnessed to my mom. I got a Bible and said, Mom, you need to read this. That's when she was in prison. My mom knew the Lord Jesus. She grew up in a Christian home. But she gave an ultimatum when she was going to be married. And the gentleman was going into the ministry. And she said to him, you either choose me or you choose God. None of the two will meet. She lost out on that. And I could see bitterness in her life throughout. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Feed that. Follow that. Desire that pure spiritual milk, because brotherly love is a difficult goal to achieve if we're all looking for and about our own interests. If we're talking behind one another's backs, if we're living double lives, if we're casting stones at one another, we'll never have brotherly love. That will not exist in a church. We need to desire to live by the truth. Pure spiritual milk, the Word of God, is this. The Word of God grows in us in devotion and purity or sanctification. Without this thirst, this craving for the Word of God and to live out the Word, a community cannot experience brotherly love. It's not going to exist. The community will dissolve. It will not be united. It will just merely be a church that lives for a religious institution of empty rituals and traditions and no living God. We are sanctified by our concern for our brother or sister. And we need to be unwavering in our devotion to one another. Rabbi Jonathan Cahn says in his book, The Book of Mysteries, if you have been loved, you must love. And if you've been loved without having deserved that love, then you must love those who don't deserve your love. Did you catch that? Sounds like what Jesus said. We didn't deserve Jesus' love. We didn't love Jesus. We put him to death. But Jesus was loved by the Father. Jesus was loved by his disciples. Jesus was loved by Mary. And if you've been loved, you have to love. It's our responsibility. Obedience to Jesus makes wholehearted love of brothers and sisters of our Christian community possible. The question is, will we obey? Will we obey? So why do you study the Word of God? Why do we study the Word of God? Why do we do that? Do we study the Word of God so that we have a weapon? Do we study the Word of God so we have information? Do we study the Word of God so that we're more intelligent than everybody else? Do we study the Word of God so that we can hammer other people with it? I hope not. Why do we study the Word of God? Hopefully it's so that we can be transformed. So that we can be transformed. If I'm not into transformation, I won't be reading my Word of God. I won't be in the Bible. There's no use praying to God to transform me if I'm not along for the ride in reading His Word, and studying His Word, and applying His Word. Dennis R. Edwards, The Story of God, Bible Commentary, page 81, says this: the basic truth we must follow is that the Holy Spirit is God's provision to convert our souls and work in us to bring about what is good. And the Spirit uses the written Word of God to help accomplish these goals, His goals. So am I allowing the Word of God to be the vehicle of God's Spirit of authority in my life? Is that real? How much authority do I allow in my life if I'm only reading the Word of God for 5 minutes? How much am I going to get out of that? Because remember, we have 24 hours in a day. We have time to be in the Word of God. Because we make time for those things which are a priority for us. Is that not true? That is an absolute truth. The more we study and meditate on the Word of God, the harder it will be to dislike or hate fellow believers or disengage from one another. Richard Foster in Celebration of Discipline writes this: note that the central purpose of the study of Scripture is not doctrinal purity, though that is no doubt involved, but inner transformation. We come to Scripture to be changed, not to amass information. So, do we want unity? Do we want brotherly love? Do we want fellowship? Do we want to grow? Then we have to be dedicated to God's Word. We have to be dedicated to what He said. We have to be dedicated to live the way that Jesus told us to live and love the way He loved. Do I crave the Word? Lone Rangers tend not to crave God, the Word, and they see fellowship as not a necessity of God's will. Lone Rangers tend not to love well. Brotherly love is difficult. It's difficult because not everybody agrees. Not everybody sees the same things, right? How many of you believe everything that the pastor says is right? Head of the class, Larry. But you know what? No, not everything the pastor says is right. You may not agree with everything that I say, but do you agree with everything that the Bible says? Yes. Then we need to apply it. We need to apply it. And that's the biggest thing. We have to apply it. Jesus says, go and share the Word and love the world. Then we're supposed to go do that. But we can't do that if our bubble is only consists of believers and followers. We have to be out there because that's our job. That's what we've been entrusted with. So desire pure spiritual milk. Desire the truth. How many of you remember the catchphrase of the milk industry campaign back in the 80s? Can you tell me what it was? Milk does a body good. Well, do you believe the word does a body good? You believe that? Because I do. Peter says, be sanctified by the word. Be sanctified by the word in everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Draw near to me, God, and God will draw near to me. James 4:8. Let's pray. Father, simply pray that you would sanctify us by your word as we dig into your word. Father, give us the craving and the thirst to be engaged in your word so that we simply would be better lovers of you and of one another. Father, lead us in this by your Spirit. Lead us to obey and live what we proclaim to live and what you've told us to do. In Jesus' name we pray.